All right, ladies and gentlemen, I know it's not Monday, it's Tuesday, but hey, we're still coming at you with a great episode of Offside, and we got great people sitting down today. We got Jen sitting with us. Jen, how's the day treating you?
Not too bad. It's beautiful. The sun's out, and I can't complain.
And then we got Mr. Jamie Anesty, the man behind the scenes running everything. How's it going today, Mr. Anesty?
Bright and sunny here in Nova Scotia. As long as you don't tell me snow's coming, I'm going to be a happy man.
So. I don't think we got snow in the forecast, my guy. And then the special guest today is Mr. Josh from the Orion Sports Network. Josh, how's it going today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. Got 16 degrees and sunny here, so can't complain.
There we go. I think we're about the same here in Nova Scotia, 15, 16 degrees. So the sun just decided to burn off the fog and go sunny, so we're rocking and rolling with that. But guys, the news du jour, the topic right off the hop here, we have the Montreal Canadiens, Edmonton Oilers not making up the game today that was missed last night due to COVID. Two players from Montreal Canadiens entered the COVID protocol, Jesperi Kotkaniemi and Joel Armia. Their test results for the entire teams are not due back until 4:30 today, so they will not be making up the game, which leads me to ask you all, and Josh, I'll get your take on this first. We all surmised at the beginning of the season there wasn't a lot of time to make up games, and we look at a lot of teams in the States of when they would have to make up their games and adjust their schedules, et cetera, et cetera. The Canadian division has been, you know, mostly actually up until this point undisturbed with games due to COVID. Now we have this one being postponed. Do they make it up during the run, which if you look at their schedule is kind of hard to do, or do they tack it on at the end? But the thing is, again, they don't want to be going up against the Olympics, and they don't want to be going further into the summer bleeding into next season with anything. So I'm wondering, guys, and Josh, I'll get you to answer first, what do you think goes here with the Montreal Canadiens, and how do they address getting this game in?
Well, I think, you know, in the case of the Canadian division, I think we've been pretty lucky just with the amount of games that, I mean, we've only missed one up to date. I think this is kind of the first COVID scare we've had. Hopefully the test results come back negative and they can, I mean, I think they would have to make this game up at the end of the season, just looking at both teams' schedules, because they're kind of in the final stretch here with, you know, 25 and 27 games left or something like that. The NHL, they did allow a runway at the end. I believe it was 7 to 10 days to make up games. A couple of the other divisions are already getting really close to cutting into that. But luckily, if those divisions do run over, I think the Canadian division does have that, or the North division, sorry. I have it calling it the Canadian division. But
no, it's the Canadian division.
They do have that runway to allow. So if it is only one game, I think they can tack that on at the end, you know, depending on if it even matters, right? Like if, say, one of the teams is out of the playoffs by 4 points, I mean, the other, it's not going to affect standing. Maybe they just go MLB style and say, it doesn't matter, let's just leave it. Or maybe if more games are canceled, we're looking at, you know, what a lot of the analysts have been saying, and what I personally think they should do anyway is based off win percentage. That's a situation we might see as well. But hopefully it's just a one-off and we don't see this, you know, continue on and spread throughout the division.
Yeah, well, I think that's the caution here, the cautionary tale they're doing right now with not allowing both teams to play, because they do have games coming up. And like you indicated, they want this to be a false negative situation. But, Jen, what do you think the team should do, and what should the NHL do here with those, you know, extending the season?
Well, see, it's been a little inconsistent, if you ask me, because they've had some players in other teams across the league that have been forced to play down up to, like, 8 players being under COVID protocol. Now they're doing this in Montreal with, I think it was 2 players. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It's 2 players,
They get to scratch the game. And it's like, okay, so where's the line here? Like, some teams have to play. I think it was Detroit, I could be wrong, early in the season that got lost or was forced to play their game. And they were down, like, 8 players, and they lost these games because they were short so many men.
I think referring, I think it was the Devils, actually. The Devils had a lot, because it was like Andreas Janssen, Aaron Dell. It was a litany of players that were on the list.
Well, it was something, maybe they were playing the Red Wings or something, but I can't remember specifically. But then you see the difference here, and it's like, this league seems to lack a lot of consistency. and we're talking about what happens with this one game loss, potentially two games loss between the Oilers and Montreal. Well, I mean, the Buffalo Sabres and the Rangers, weren't they just canceled too recently? Like, there's a lot of games to be made up, and I heard that we've got a week between regular season and then the playoffs starting. But I mean, these players need rest. Regardless, like, you can't be jamming in all these games. I don't think they structured this properly, thinking, planning for the worst, yeah, essentially, from the beginning. And I mean, like, you're looking at teams, players getting hurt, more players getting hurt. Like, the Penguins are just nuts right now with injuries. I can't even keep up. My head's spinning so much. But it's like, where's the balance here? I mean, you can't force these players into the postseason without proper ample rest. You know what I mean? You can't load in all these games. What should they do? I don't know. I think they had these taxi squads. They had enough players to play the game, but I think they should have just kind of stuck with that route, played with the players they had. Like, that's what they agreed on in the beginning. And, I mean, wire games, you know.
I think the concern here with the Montreal Canadiens and the Edmonton Oilers was the fact that Joel Armia and Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Hey, guys, I'm going to ask right here. I'm going to cut for a sec. If you're not talking, just put your phone on mute. There's a lot of background noise just so that way we don't get a lot of static on the mic. But we'll go back into it. So Jesperi Kotkaniemi and both Joel Armia were available for practice. They were with the team, around the team, and then this popped up. So I think it's abundance of caution just because in case they are positive, they were around their teammates, they were practicing, they were on the ice. They did play a game, obviously, I think it was Saturday night as well, against Vancouver. So it's just an abundance of caution thing just in case, you know, anybody else is affected. And obviously that's why they're testing both teams and making sure those results come back, obviously, negative. But, Jamie, you look at these two squads here and you look at the COVID situation. For you, when you look at it from what Jen is saying, do you think that they should just go with the taxi squad then and just play it out?
Look at the New York Rangers. They had coaches, I believe players came from the Hartford Wolfpack in the American Hockey League to have the coaches coach the game, right? So I believe they should use a taxi squad. They should have, like, we don't want to be playing, like, right as of right now, there's going to be games being played from May until June. There's over 30 games impacted by COVID-19, right?
Yep.
I'm looking at it right now on sportingnews.com. There's over 30 games impacted by COVID-19. So do we want to be playing games right into June and crowning a Stanley Cup champ in August and September?
Well, that's my big thing, right?
That's the way it looks right now. But let's try, like Jen mentioned, you know, it seems like it's all over the place. Look, take the guys from the AHL, okay? Take coaches, build a bigger taxi squad and just start playing games. Like, there's ways around it. I don't know if it's because of travel or just the availability of the players, because the AHL is still playing, right? So,
yeah, you know, I don't know.
At the end of the day, I'm not Bill Daly. I'm not Gary Bettman, so I can't make decisions. I can give you my opinion, but the way it's looking, we could be playing makeup games until June, right? So,
yeah. That's the whole thing we talked about at the beginning before this all started, right? Was how much will COVID impact this season? Obviously, we've seen, like you just said, 30 games impacted thus far. And it's going to cut into it. That's why I keep, you know, referring to the fact about the runway. Josh, I know you touched on the fact that there's a 7 to 10 day buffer, but I mean, if you have 30 games impacted already, and a lot of those teams, I think, are, you know, on the list multiple times, the New Jersey Devils, the Buffalo Sabres, it'd be with two huge culprits, I think, that are on there. Not that they did anything wrong, but they'd be on that list. You know, what do you do? Do you start looking at the fact that, hey, maybe we might have to push the start date the next season? Or do you, like you said, we'll put a bow on this here in a moment, but do you just say, hey, okay, look at the standings. Okay, this is where you are. This is where you finish. This is it. You know, once you have a cutoff date, say, okay, all games that possibly can be played have to be done by X date, and that's it. Is that something you think the NHL will look at?
I think you got to be really careful with how you're dealing with the situation, because we saw the league kind of screwed up a couple days ago where there were two maybe positive tests before a game, and then they did the anthem with all the players had their masks on, and then they played the game, and then those two teams were shut down after that. And that's not what you want. You don't want the transmission of the virus through the teams, and I think that's what they're concerned about.
Yep.
Which is why I was okay of the decision to cancel the game or postpone the game last night. I mean, at the end of the day, we all want to see these players stay healthy and stay on the ice and be able to play next season, because we all know this virus affects players differently. You know, we've seen cases where players are still recovering for it, and not just in the NHL. We see it in other sports as well. And at the end of the day, it's not a normal season. So if all the teams don't play the same amount of games and it's not decided by points, if they have to say, hey, at the end of the day, we just got to do this by points percentage, guys, like that's what you're dealing with. And if the owners want to get upset about that, you just turn around and tell them, look, this team is an investment for you. These players make you money. You've got to protect your investment, which at the end of the day is all that those owners want, right? So that's just my two cents on it.
No, I mean, I've heard that before too, the whole win percentage thing being a factor. I mean, if you want to be able to finish the season on time and, you know, at a respectable date where you're not bleeding into the Olympics, where that'll take up a lot of your viewership, which, you know, the NHL is counting on. And then you also want to look at the fact you don't want to be affecting too much going into next season, because you have a brand new team coming in that wants to hit the ground running as well in the Seattle Kraken. So, you know, that's all forefront as well, because they just paid a hefty expansion fee and you don't want to have them sitting on their heels, you know, waiting to get into the season, waiting to get to play as well. So, and then teams also want to start to figure out what the rosters are going to be with the expansion draft, which is something we'll talk about probably here in a little bit. But yeah, we'll put a bow on this and say, you know what, hopefully everything goes well and everything comes back negative. They make up this one game in the North Division, comes out of this relatively unscathed like it has so far. But we'll jump on the Toronto Maple Leafs, obviously a hot topic there with the goaltending situation. Freddie Anderson came out last week and said that he's not where he wants to be. We all took that as maybe mentally, physically. He said his game is not where it should be yet. When I spoke with Terry Koshan, Terry said, you know, he's been with the Leafs for how many years now? His game should be, you know, dialed in by now. And now we've all learned that he does have an LBI he's been dealing with all summer, or all season, not summer. And now he may, I'll put an asterisk beside him, may end up on the IR. Sheldon Keefe alluded to as much the other day with his comment saying, you know, the goaltending situation for Thursday may sort itself out between the goalies and their health. And he won't have to make a decision, you know, that hamstrings anyone. It'll probably be Jack Campbell's crease by the sounds of it. I ask you, Jen, first, between Freddie Anderson, Jack Campbell, Joseph Woll, Mike Hutchinson, do you think that if Freddie's on the shelf for an extended period of time, which may be the thing that happens, do you think the Leafs have enough goaltending depth without Freddie Anderson around?
See, this is tough for me because I don't know too much about the Leafs goaltending, but when I look at Freddie Anderson's career and then I look at, say, what's his name?
Jack Campbell.
Jack Campbell, thank you, his career. And I'm looking like Freddie Anderson looks more consistent and he's got more depth in his game. But then I wasn't aware that he was struggling with some injury and then maybe some mental issues too stemming from that injury, lack of confidence in his game or whatever. But I do know that for a goaltender, and this goes against what I witnessed in Pittsburgh, but for success in the postseason, you got to have strength in your goaltending, right? And clearly the Leafs are on path to have a good, hopefully solid postseason, a long run. Jack Campbell right now, he's played what, four games this season, and he's won all four.
Yep.
So he's looking pretty good right now, but the thing with goaltenders is, and most of us know that, is they tend to get better as they age. You know, like, we didn't see the best of Carey Price until I think his sixth season, correct me if I'm wrong. Mentality is a big factor. Like, the pressure that's on a goaltender is insane, right? So what do you do when you're looking at what goaltenders you have, what they've done in these positions in the past? It's a lot. It's a conversation. It's something that can't be decided right over, like in a day. You got to kind of look at all the factors. And I mean, you do tend to want to go with your hot goalie until he's not so hot anymore. But do you really want to burn out a young goaltender and destroy his confidence? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I look at the Toronto Maple Leafs and I look at Jack Campbell and I say, okay, I like your numbers. And I've said this numerous times. I said to Jamie as well, I like your numbers, but show me a bigger sample size than four games. And it's all great that he's played 10 complete games with the Toronto Maple Leafs and has, you know, the best numbers since Terry Sawchuk, which is what they are comparing him to on the weekend with his statistics in the first 10 games and his goals against average and everything. But, Josh, I'll ask you, you know, you look at Jack Campbell and you look at what's behind him. What's behind him? Jack Campbell could be great, but you do have to rely in this truncated season on a different goaltender than just your starter. And if Freddie does go on the shelf, we've all seen Jen, Jamie, Josh, we've all seen Mike Hutchinson. We know what he is. We know what he isn't. Yeah, he played great against Edmonton for one game, but we also seen what happens when he let two softies in against Ottawa. So, you know what Hutchinson is. He's not a guy that is a viable everyday option as a backup. You don't know what you have in Wool. You have Ian Scott, who's came back from hip surgery, hasn't faced a shot in the NHL or AHL, let alone the Western Hockey League, in I think a year and a half. And then you have the guy that's still sitting in quarantine that you just acquired from the Columbus Blue Jackets that, you know, is a question mark because you don't know what you got in him. Josh, I wonder for you, and I'll echo the question again, do the Leafs need to go out and get another goaltender to kind of supplant what's behind Jack Campbell?
Well, that's the thing with Campbell is you don't really know, and everyone seems to think they know what they have, but they don't because nope. he hasn't had a starter's load of games. He's played, what, 10 to 12 games with the Leafs? I mean,
10,
it feels like he's
only
10. Forever, but,
yeah, just 10 games.
And he's only played, well, 10 games and, you know, that practice game, which is where he was facing floaters from the hash marks, but... He seems to be confident in his net, and the team does look a little more confident in front of him. But that's because ever since he's got here, all he's done is win. And this season, you know, he's 4-0. He just, you know, back-to-back shutouts. And I would feel confident with him, you know, taking the net from Freddie just for a little bit here. You know, let Freddie get his confidence back. Let Freddie, you know, heal whatever injury he's got. As for bringing in another goaltender... You know, it gets a little difficult this season because you're probably not getting a goalie from any of the Canadian teams because they don't want to give you that advantage because you're playing a Canadian team in the first two rounds of the playoffs. So it's probably not a trade partner there. And then if you're bringing in one from the States, he's sitting for 2 weeks. And, you know, how effective is goalie after not skating for 2 weeks because you're going to want him to jump right in? You know, I've seen, you know, bring over Jonathan Quick. I don't know if, you know, a guy like Quick is an upgrade over Freddie Anderson.
No.
I've heard this before. I'll give Steve Dangle a shout out. I want old Freddie back.
Yep.
Like, I think that's the guy you need. And, you know, I wouldn't be upset if they went into the playoffs and they had Campbell and Anderson. And, you know, if Campbell's your number one, you still have a solid backup in Freddie, or even vice versa. If Freddie can get his game back, you know, you have a solid backup in Campbell. And, I think everyone's just getting a little, not impatient, but maybe impatient is the word with the goaltending, but it's going to take time to figure out. When a player loses their confidence, it's one of the hardest things to get back, especially when you have someone behind you and Jack Campbell playing, you know, lights out so far.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see. My assumption is he's going to start on Thursday. You know, Freddie probably, I would start Campbell anyway. I think if a goalie gets a shutout, he gets the next game. Anyway, even, you know, maybe not on a back-to-back, but, you know, they'd have rest, throw Campbell in, give Freddie the day off, maybe have Hutch back up if Freddie, you know, even if Freddie's ready to go, I'd say, you know, sit in the press box, take the time. But I don't think bringing in another goaltender is the answer. If you're bringing in a guy, and I mean, I imagine they already did with this, I have no idea how to say his name, but the Columbus goaltender, he's probably your number three.
Is it like Vetlinen or something? Vetlinen or whatever?
Something like that, yeah. There's a lot of V's in there, but I've looked at his numbers. He doesn't have a lot of pro experience, but he seems like he could be a solid option if your number one and your number two go down. But if he's, you know, your number one option for a stretch of 5 to 6 games, you're in trouble. If he's your number one option in the playoffs, you're in trouble. I've seen people say you got to get Joseph Woll a look here. No, you don't. That guy needs a couple more seasons in the AHL. So it's just, we need to think it through. Campbell and Anderson are your two guys right now. If you're bringing in someone else, it's got to be an upgrade over Freddie, and I don't know who that would be. I don't know.
Yeah, there's not much out there unless you're going to go target a John Gibson. from Anaheim.
Exactly, which, you know, and he's injured right now. And
yeah.
You know, Anaheim's going to want a king's ransom for him because he's a solid goaltender. He's a great goaltender on a terrible team.
And you have to consider, too, that, like, strength of goalie, like, their play in the postseason. It's a different game, right?
Yep.
So you have to consider that, too. And with Freddie Anderson, like you said, how he should take a little bit of time off but not be completely separated so he can work on whatever he needs to on his mental game because he's got a little bit more playoff experience. You know what I mean? So you kind of, you don't want to rule him right out and just give up because the whole team can crumble just over a small move like that.
Well, what do you think, Jamie? We're all bantering here. What do you think about the Leafs goaltending situation?
Well, Josh hit the nail on the head, to be honest. The only other guy I could think of, I was going to say Jonathan Quick. He stole the words right out of my mouth. But Devin Dubnyk would be the only other guy that would be available if they needed that second goalie. If Freddie Anderson goes on the long-term injury list, right? We've got a month before the trade deadline, so hopefully, and to be honest, knock on wood, we know Campbell's been hurt, and he wasn't really given that chance in L.A. to have a starting role because he's behind Jonathan Quick, right? So, by saying, I don't know. Like, they want a top six forward. They want it. It seems like they want everything to go for a run because, you know, Leaf Nation, we want a Stanley Cup. So hopefully there's no pressure on Dubas to make a trade just to make a run because it's just that type of year. I think really, like, just take what you have. Galchenyuk, I know I might be going off topic, but Galchenyuk might be the best option in that top six forward position. So leave that alone. Matthias Ekholm's probably not going to Toronto, so we won't talk about that. But as far as a goalie, maybe just give Campbell the next 10 games. Knock on wood, he doesn't get hurt because he didn't get that chance in LA behind Quick, right? So,
well, he got a solid chance. He did get a solid chance in LA when Quick was injured. He was the starter,
Dennis Bernstein
said, He didn't show that he had the capability of being your everyday in and out starter, but that was younger. And like Jen just alluded to as well, and Josh touched on it yourself, goalies do take a little bit more time to, come together, have the seasoning, get the gear, whatever you want to call it, get themselves together and ready to play. They take a little longer than most players. You know, they come along at 26, 27, 28 years old, and they go lights out. Look at Jordan Binnington. And a lot of people right now are drawing comparisons between Jack Campbell and Jordan Binnington, saying, hey, this is kind of what happened with him, and, you know, wouldn't it be great if he went on a run with the Leafs, Mr. Campbell, and does all these great things. But we'll see what happens in the goaltending thing. But, you know, Jamie, you just touched on something there about Ekholm. And you know what? I think that with Jimmy VC, you know, getting claimed on waivers, Travis Boyd getting claimed on waivers, I think there's a method to the madness here. I know it's a little bit more cap space for the Maple Leafs, but I think the method to the madness that you're looking at is they are going to be hitting home runs. They're looking for the drive the ball right out of the park here and pick up a couple great assets to go for a run. And it may not be a Matthias Ekholm, but it may be, you know, Ryan Ellis. I think that the Nashville Predators are going to, and I think I'm stealing this from 31 Thoughts, so shout out to Elliot and Jeff Merrick, you know, they are talking about the fact that Nashville will probably have to decide between Ekholm or Ellis, you know, who they want to keep and what is it going to be. And, you know, I think Toronto would be right in on that. I think Toronto would be in on a top six forward as well. But some of the names bandied about don't exactly excite me, to be honest. And I'm not excited about a Taylor Hall coming to Toronto. I don't think it'll be smart. There was the name Phil Kessel brought up. Wouldn't it be funny to see him playing with William Nylander and John Tavares? And, you know, kind of stuff it in Steve Simmons' face a little bit. But I'm wondering, I'll ask you, Jen, first, when you look around the league and you look at the things Toronto's been openly talking about wanting to get, whether it's a top six winger, whether it's a top four defenseman or even a bottom pairing guy, what is a name to you that would make sense for the Maple Leafs and help complete them? You there, Jen?
Yeah, you just kind of dipped out at what a name, something to do with a name for the Maple Leafs. I just want to say, first and foremost, with the way the Leafs have been trending this year, this season, you don't want to take a big gamble. You don't want to gamble big here. You want to make the smart moves, right? As to bringing in, what name to bring in, I really don't know. Like, I couldn't tell you, to be honest with you, because I kind of like the way the Leafs have been going. And for me, when you bring in a big change or a big name, like, for example, of Taylor Hall, he's still a big name, but I think he's kind of like, I don't know, I think he's jaded. There's something toxic about him. It just doesn't work with him anywhere, right? And when you mentioned, I mean, you kind of sold me at Phil Kessel. I didn't hear anything about that, but I'm all for that.
Yeah, well, it's got the story.
He's great in the postseason. Like, but him coming back to Toronto, I mean, he hated it here. He hated the media here anyways. But, I mean, players want to win, right? So I think in any position, whatever Dubas decides to do, I really hope, and this goes as well with the goaltender situation, you don't want to gamble, take a big gamble here, because this is a season that the Leafs have really proven themselves to be strong. Sure, they kind of dipped off a little bit as of late, but I mean, they've had a lot of game time off. We're on another 4-day stretch of games off.
Yep.
You kind of lose your momentum in those times. People think, oh, yeah, they get the rest they needed. Well, you know, there's other factors that come into play when they have extensive rest. As for names, I mean, when's the deadline? The 12th of April,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So we're a couple weeks away from that, and I mean, I just hope, I can't really give you a name. I'm not sure what players are available, but I think at the best thing Dubas can do is just kind of, you know, think big but act small, or think small but act big. You know what I mean? Rather than taking any big risks or gambling on anything, because it just can shift the dynamic so big. So one small move can shift the dynamic so big, and it could go either positive or negative. So, I mean, going back just quickly to the Jack Campbell thing, like, I was looking at his record, his career record, and he's won as many games. He's lost more games than he's won, right? And that's a factor that you want to look at. Not much, but, I mean, for this, I don't know. I like the way the Leafs are trending, so I can't give you a name at this point.
What about you, Josh? What do you think?
I mean, if they're going to go after someone, I think everyone's expecting a home run here. But just from a fan point of view, I would love a home run. Like, if they were to bring in a Taylor Hall or a Matthias Ekholm, that would be fantastic. I just think realistically it's not going to happen. I think you're looking at, like, your biggest fish you might be able to get is maybe Raquel out of Anaheim. You know, Kyle Polinari would be a nice addition. I know Tanner Pearson, his name's been thrown around a couple times. And, you know, that's the name that sticks out to me, to be honest, is Tanner Pearson. But you can get him from Vancouver. He doesn't have to quarantine. And then the same thing going the other way. I think in that trade, you're probably looking at a Kerfoot maybe going the other way. Neither team would have to quarantine that player. They could just start playing right away. I just think nobody's really making a big deal out of this whole, the player has to sit for 2 weeks coming this way, when I think it's a bigger issue than it is amongst GMs and amongst the owners, amongst the coaching staff, and amongst the players. Nobody wants to sit for 2 weeks when you're gearing up for a playoff push. I know some of these players don't have no trade clauses, so they might not really have a say in it. And you also want to look at what Toronto has to give up in this. I know on TSN, I kind of had a bone to pick with this. Was on TSN's trade bait board, they just have Toronto's top prospect at number 8. So, okay, let's put a name there instead of just putting top prospect. But, you know, when I think of top prospect, I think of a guy like Robertson. I don't want to give him up in a trade, and unless it's for someone that I'm getting for term.
Yeah.
And none of these guys on the trade bait board, none of the names I've been throwing around, the longest term, I think, is like 1 year, and that would be Ekholm, Raquel, and I think Colin Miller. And then Kerfoot is the longest term on the trade bait board, but he already plays for Toronto. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I said something on our show a couple days ago. I said, you know, your trade deadline acquisition might have been Simmons and Galchenyuk being added back to the lineup, because that did seem to pump the team up a little bit. I mean, it's not the boost you're looking for, but it was a boost. And if you can't bring anyone of impact in after that, maybe you make a couple moves to, you know, bolster your third and fourth line, which I don't think you really need to bolster that third line. It's been fantastic the last couple of weeks. I mean, maybe your move is bringing in another goalie. I know Bernier's name's been throwing around, but he's injured. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do, because they're either going to swing for the fences and not do anything at all.
I could see them doing a a bottom pair defenseman to kind of replace Dermott. Because my big thing, and I've said this to Terry Koshan, said this to Jamie and Jen too, when you look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, you look at the forward corps, and I know we lost VC and Boyd, so this is a little less, but it's still the same thing that rings true to me. If you look at the next man up mentality, who do you have on defense if you lose Riley, if you lose Muzzin, if you lose Brody, if you lose any of those guys, Hall even, or Bogo, who's your next man up? Marty Marinson? Are you confident in Marty Marinson? We all know what's happened. I know he's great with a big stick on the penalty kill, but beyond that, I still have that glaring Liam Foodie situation where he didn't engage and Foodie tucked it in short side against Freddie because Marinson did nothing, stood there like a deer in headlights. Then you have Sandin and Liljegren. If you were so high and ready on Sandin and Liljegren, they'd already be playing in your lineup. So they're not, and they haven't. So obviously that to me tells me that you're not exactly sold on them being ready. Not sold on them as a player or a prospect, because we all know that they're trending in the right direction, but just not ready for this year. So who is your next man up on D? So I could see them either, like you said, Josh, hitting the home run, but I don't necessarily see them doing nothing. I see them maybe adding on the bottom to replace out a Dermott or something like that, just in case. Someone who may be able to play elevated minutes if an injury does happen. And who's that guy? I couldn't give you a name. Josh Manson's been bantied about from the Anaheim Ducks. Love to see him over here. He can throw some weight around and different things with his play. But, Jamie, I want to ask you, you look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, for you, where is the area that comes to mind for you that they need to address?
Well, Josh just mentioned Tanner Pearson. He's actually hurt at the moment, but I'm wondering, Vancouver is without Pedersen right now. Horvat was hurt after last night's game. I'm wondering if Vancouver is going to be sellers in the next 3 weeks, as of yesterday, 3 weeks to the trade deadline. So, what about, like, if we just did two deals, I guess, or two players went to Vancouver, so maybe Dubas can, there's a relationship they're already built from Travis Boyd going to Vancouver, BC going to Vancouver. Any of you guys can answer this, but, like, maybe do you bring over, like, if Vancouver sells, do you bring over Holtby, like, or maybe Rittich, like, if Calgary and Vancouver, I know things may change in the next 3 weeks, but if one of those teams becomes sellers, can you maybe get a Rittich or a Holtby? I know Demko's not going anywhere. I know Markstrom's not going anywhere, right? So as far as the defense, like, I've been watching a lot of St. Louis Blues games, me and Clark Monroe, who we've had on the show, and you know quite well. I like Vince's Dunn's game. He scored last night for St. Louis. David Savard seems like a better choice than Matthias Ekholm. So, as far as the forwards, I'll echo what Josh just mentioned. Yes, Galchenyuk and Simmons could have already been our trade. Whatever word you want to use there, but they could have already been our splash, I guess. Right. So,
yep.
With that being said, I think Vancouver right now could be sellers. Maybe you get Holtby or figure, like, just to have that goalie if Anderson goes on a long term or can't play. Because I strongly believe, I think I already said this, knock on wood, Campbell takes the next 10 games. Maybe give where you put Hutchinson in that. Because we got Ottawa Thursday night, then we've got the Oilers, so don't put him in against the Oilers. But if Campbell can really go on a 10-game run, that'll show where Campbell is. Like you said, he doesn't have the greatest numbers in L.A., but the next 10 games right now will determine what we need to do in the next 3 weeks or so, right? So as far as the forwards, I mentioned this to Clark last night. If they don't get anything back for letting B BC and Travis Boyd go. I think I said this on Twitter. I haven't heard any backlash. I guess I said the right thing. So maybe Adam Brooks comes up, and maybe we see Nick Robertson come up on to play forward. So I like what Josh said, though, against Senyuk and Simmons. I think that was our splash. And in case something doesn't happen, that's okay, because we have Simmons and Galchenyuk back in. Maybe you go after David Savard or Vince Dunn. He's playing well on St. Louis. They're in the top four. I don't know why they would want to let him go, but he is on the trade bait board. But you know, as far as I'm a goalie. Like I've always liked goalies. I've always dissected their game. So maybe Dubnyk, Rittich, and Holtby are the maybe pieces Toronto can pick up for a playoff run, right? So if Anderson's on long-term injury, Toronto's going to need a goalie. They can't play Campbell for the next 25-odd games, right? So that's where I stand with the forward D and goalies at the moment. But again, 3 weeks to the trade deadline, so a lot can happen in 3 weeks, right?
No, definitely can. And you know something, and I'll say this to all of you, when it comes to Kyle Dubas, he always seems to make deals that we didn't see coming. You know, with the Muzzin deal, the Campbell deal, the Clifford deal, the Galchenyuk deal, even that one. So, you know, with Kyle Dubas, it's always something that's under the radar, but it's an impactful deal. So, you know, maybe look for one of those to be happening. And I said it to Terry the other day, the Toronto Maple Leafs don't have a lot of cap room, but you know one thing they did last year is they did facilitate a trade for the Vegas Golden Knights, retaining some salary on Robin Lehner as that trade went through. So maybe the Maple Leafs look for someone to do that with this year. You know, a team that may be out of the playoff picture, has a little cap space, and they do a three-way trade where the team retains on a guy that has a bigger ticket and allows that guy to come over to Toronto at a lesser cap hit. Who knows, but Kyle Dubas does those things, and that's why Brandon Pridham's there. He wrote the cap. He knows what it's all about. So that's why the Leafs are able to do some jumping through hoops and wiggle room when it comes to cap services. But I'll ask you guys this one to closely put a bow on it as we're closing in on the 40-minute mark already. You look at the Toronto Maple Leafs this season, and you see, you know, both the Jekyll and Hyde, the good and the bad. Josh, I'll get you to start. You look at the Leafs. For me, I say the rest of the season, the Toronto Maple Leafs will be doing well and probably keep their spot atop the North Division. There's teams like Edmonton, but goaltending is a question for the Edmonton Oilers. They're getting stuff right now, and Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are absolutely destroying the NHL since the Leafs shut them down. But do you see Toronto, A, holding on to the North Division lead? And I'll get everybody to chime in on this as they go. And do you also see them having playoff success this year?
Yeah, I think they will hold the top of the division just because of the hot start they got. I mean, if a team like, if someone finishes ahead of you, I really don't think it's the end of the world in this season, because there's only three other teams you can play in the playoffs anyway, and you're going to see two of them anyway, especially if you want to make a deep playoff run. So I don't think home ice is going to be as big a deal this year, especially with no crowds in Canada. I mean, maybe they go over to Buffalo and play there, but I don't think that'll happen until the third and fourth round. As for, you know, the last, what, they got 25-ish games left, I think what they really got to focus on is amping up and getting ready for the playoff push. So when game one in the playoffs starts, you're already ready. And that's what we've seen with this season. The games have been getting more intense as you go on, because you're seeing the same teams over and over and over again. And I do think that is benefiting the Leafs. Sure, these teams are getting to figure them out better, but the Leafs are also figuring them out. I mean, the one case that I point to is they shut down Edmonton. One goal in three games, and you got two of the best players in the league on that team. I loved that from them. I thought they showed real growth and their maturity there. You know, it was kind of hurt a little bit with that six-game slide afterwards, where they only got one win in those six games. But I think this team's in good shape. Every team has a rough patch. Everyone, you know, I see on Twitter all the time, people say, oh, you know, you can't go through a stretch like this if you want to win a cup. Well, cup teams do go through that stretch, and it does happen. And it's how you respond out of that, right? You know, you get knocked over, can you get back up and be as strong as you were? So this team's got, you know, without half the season to show us what they're made of. They're coming off quite a long break. Yeah, they played two games against the Flames, but it's going to be a nice reset for them against Ottawa, and then you go in and you got to show us what you got against Edmonton. You know, show us that same team that had that three-game stretch where they shut them down. If you can do that again against Edmonton, I think we're back in business.
Definitely. What do you think there, Mr. Anstey?
I like what Josh just mentioned. We've got Ottawa, the Oilers, and the Jets to round out the month of March. So 8 points to grab before the end of March. So I like where the team is. I think really like with the forwards we have, we got Spezza can score timely goals. Once Simmons gets back in the form, right now I'm just the only thing I'm worried about is where the Lions have been put through a blender. Does Hyman belong on the third line? It's tough because you got Nylander, Tavares, and forget the other person's name.
Galchenyuk.
On the second. Yeah. So you know, that's my only worry. Like how the lines are going to be. You don't want to be mixed matching lines 2 weeks before the playoffs. But to answer your question, will the Leafs be in the top four? 100%. Right now, Calgary's pushing, Vancouver's pushing, and it's unfortunate Ottawa's not going to make the playoffs. But I really think, and they even mentioned it last night after the Vancouver game, right? With the injuries Vancouver's now experiencing, Calgary didn't have that good start. And Josh said, Toronto had that good start, so that helps them. But I strongly believe in the Canadian division, teams like Calgary and Vancouver, they're going to run out of gas chasing all these teams that are ahead of them. So what's going to happen is they're just going to run out of gas and they're just going to be, okay, are we sellers, are we buyers, what are we doing here, right? Calgary right now has the only chance, I believe, to make a run in that top four. But does Toronto get knocked out of that top four? No, because other than Montreal and Winnipeg, I can see Edmonton, Calgary jockeying for that fourth position. You're right, Edmonton's goalie is not the greatest, Koskinen and Mike Smith. So Winnipeg, Toronto, Montreal, and Calgary are my top four. But as far as like the Leafs as a whole, just waiting out the 3 weeks, see what happens. I'm not worried. I like the team. I like who they have. If they can get Brooks up, if they can get Nick Robertson up, you're right. They need a defenseman, a depth guy for the playoffs, because we don't want to rely on Marinchin. Like I don't even know why he's still in the organization. Like they're not treating him like D'Angelo, but they're just, I don't know. They hold on to him for whatever reason, but we don't want him in the playoffs. Like he just was terrible versus Columbus, right?
So no, definitely for sure.
But do address the defensive side of things to make sure we've got enough depth in the playoffs. But other than that, I really like where the team's going. So.
No, definitely. Well, Jen, what do you think? What do you think of the Toronto Maple Leafs holding on to top spot, and what do you think of them, obviously, throughout the rest of the season? Are they going to be the team in the first half or the team from what we've seen lately?
I like Jamie said, I like the way the team looks. Teams go through rough patches. It happens. We get tired, you know, play through injuries, whatever, some things we don't find out as fans. I think that they might – I'd rather them go through, like, work out their kinks now than in the first round. You know what I mean? So that they can kind of, like, use the next couple of weeks or, sorry, what do we got, a month and a half left?
Yeah, about that, yep.
About the season? Use the month and a half to tweak things rather than, you know, make sure that we stay in the top. So it doesn't matter if we finish first in the division. To me, not really. It might help their, you know, psychological aspect or whatever. But I think what we should do is focus on whatever, finding those pieces that we need and kind of just tweaking what we have now and then building up the last couple of weeks. And honestly, I'm just here for Joe Thornton. So whatever needs to be done because I need to see that man raise the cup. That's it.
Well, let's hope that he does raise the cup.
He's going to start charging you for rent in his beard. All the people like him.
I've been a fan of him since he was drafted to the Boston Bruins. I think I got a little bit of a... I've followed him to three teams now, so.
That's all right. There's not a problem there. Well, the last thing I'll get from each and every one of you here is the Leafs have four games left in this month. Ottawa, Edmonton, and then the Winnipeg Jets. I'll start with you, Jen. For out of these four games, what do you think the record will be?
Sorry, what were the games again?
We have the Ottawa Senators, the Edmonton Oilers, and the Winnipeg Jets.
Well, it depends on if Edmonton plays the goalie they put the other night, last night. That could be a hit or miss. I think that we'll shut down Edmonton, and I think Winnipeg will take us.
So you're what? You're going 3-1 with a victory over Ottawa, Edmonton?
Yeah, unless they play the goalie that played last night. I forget his name. He had a great game last night against Calgary.
All right, Jen's 3-1. What do you think, Josh?
I'm not worried about, like, when I look at this upcoming schedule, I'm kind of worried about Thursday's game the most. Ottawa's been decent lately. Like, they're playing to have fun. They kind of remind me of the team we had when the year Babcock got here. You know, just figure out who they are. That could be what they call a trap game. And then the Leafs play up to teams. So they'll play up to the Oilers. They'll play up to the Jets. When they play down the teams, that's when they start to get into trouble. And when you play the Sens, you know, I got a lot of respect for the Sens and their players, but you're playing down to a team like that. So
yep.
They got to make the Sens play their game. I mean, they have the potential here to go 4-0-0. But I wouldn't be shocked if they go like 3-0-1 or 3-1-0. I wouldn't be upset with that. You want to look at getting 8 points up for grabs. If you get 6 out of 8, I think you're laughing at that.
All right. There you go. So basically, to call it a fair thing, it's 2-0-2 is what you're going with. Two wins in regulation, two losses in a shootout or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we'll go there. Jamie, what is yours, buddy?
Well, at Ottawa on Thursday, I think I don't know. The 27th and the 29th, we play the Oilers at home. Basically, roll the dice at a crap table, man. I don't know. Like, and then we got Winnipeg on the 31st. I believe that'll be the toughest test around March in Winnipeg. The Oilers playing in Toronto, I think.
So what are you going with a prediction? You going 1-4, 1-3? You guys will pull my fandom card here, but I'm going 1-1-2. I think they'll win against Ottawa. I have a funny feeling that Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl on Saturday night are going to absolutely set the place on fire against the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think that they'll try to repeat performance that the next game. It'll go to overtime, and Toronto will lose in OT, obviously, with McDavid and Draisaitl. And I see them losing again in overtime to the Winnipeg Jets. Some reason the Jets just seem to have a little bit of Toronto's number this year with that little three-game series we had. It was really competitive, but a lot of OT there. So I'm saying 1-1-2, guys.
And it's not easy to win in Ottawa either. Like,
no, Toronto, historically, I mean, back in the day, Toronto
win,
never...
Right? It's not easy. So you got to factor that in too, right? It's not a easy place to win a game.
Toronto historically through the regular season, you know, way back in the day, never used to beat them during the regular season, but Josh and Jen, you may remember this, Jamie too, that Toronto always seemed to turn it up for the Ottawa Senators in the playoffs. So I will take losing to Ottawa in the regular season to always beat a team in the playoffs any day of the week. But it has been great to sit down and shoot with you. Josh, where can everybody find your work and what you're doing?
You can find it on my Twitter at, what is my Twitter handle? It's Josh @coach_josh16. And then we got our show with Brandon Waterhouse and Matthew Fairclough, the Orion Sportscast. That's just @OrionSportscast on Twitter. Yeah, we do shows every Monday and Friday. And, yeah, we got some big stuff coming. We're doing an NWHL piece this Friday because they're resuming their season with the semifinals and their finals, which we're super pumped up for, hoping the Sticks can bring it home. And, yeah, just check us out on YouTube as well.
Awesome. Obviously, Jamie, we got some stuff to announce too. Sitting down tomorrow with Mr. Theo Fleury for the second time. On Thursday, we have Tori Sullivan, a little NWHL on our side too there, Josh, for the Boston Pride. Friend of the show will be sitting down to talk about life in the bubble, and then obviously the Isabel Cup this weekend. And then Friday, David Alter, reporter for the Toronto Maple Leafs, swings on by. So busy week for both shows, the Orion cast, and obviously here at Offside. But I want to thank you, Jen, Jamie, and Josh, for swinging by, sitting down. And this is Offside Hockey Talk, where hockey comes to talk.